So we'll be going back to the book of James today, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. But before we do so, I just wanted to, as a way of an introduction, ask a couple of questions. One being, I'm sure all of you have heard this passage quoted numerous of times where it says, Satan is out like a prowling lion seeking whom or whoever he might devour. You've heard that said a number of times, I'm assuming, right? Okay, get a yes from those that have heard it? Yes, very much so. Also, when we read Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Brother George was leading a study on Ephesians for a number of months. It describes a warfare over there. If you read chapter 6, 10 through 20, it describes how a soldier ought to dress. Essentially, it's describing a warfare. I'm sure you're all familiar with that as well. In verse 11 over there, it says, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm." So this concept of war, warring against the world, is pervasive, and it's all over the Bible. And so in my introduction, I wanted for us to really think about it, because while it's all there, and I was studying for this and I was thinking about it, I really don't think that we grasp it completely. Why? Because this whole concept of war is so far removed from us, we really don't understand too much of it. And even sometimes the images that we see in the media, they block out more of the gory stuff. So we have a fairly benign understanding and the view of it. And probably the closest we get to it is when some of you go paintballing. And you go paintballing, some of you, as I've heard, and you get some paintball shot at you, and you're a little bit nervous when you get out there at the field, and it hurts a little bit. But you get off the field and it feels good. You might have a couple bruises over there on your body, but you're good to go. No one's hurt. You're not carried off of the field. So oftentimes when we think of the warfare, even in the Bible, that's sort of the imagery that we get, which obviously isn't the case, right? When in the Bible and when Paul, when Christ, when all the apostles talk about the war, it's very serious. What they're trying to communicate to us is that it is very serious. What's serious? That the world is actually trying to get you. The world's actually trying to get me. It's not some kind of a benign, it's not some kind of a game that we're playing here. So that's what I want for us to think as a context. So you might be asking yourself, well, how is the world trying to get me? How is Satan trying to get me, right? One of the many ways, is that the world is trying to convince you. It's trying to convince us to consider values, or to take for us the values that the world considers valuable. What are those values typically? I think you can rattle them off the top of your head. It's primarily wealth, power, and popularity. Those are the things that the world values, right? And if you watch any TV show, if you go to the movies, you will immediately see that it's probably one of those things. It's the wealth, power, and popularity. Those are the values that the world tries to tell us are incredibly valuable. And so, if I think back even to my early years, I think that the world had me as well. Why? Because I wanted to be rich. And if you ask yourself a question as well, you know, how are your desires? Do you want to be rich or not? I certainly did. And if somebody asked me why, I would have probably replied because, well, I could do anything. Because financial security and the wealth gives you, or the world tells us, it gives us an opportunity to basically do anything, consume anything that you want. Some of you might not actually say it in those words that I want to be rich. Some of you might say it in slightly different words, such as, well, I simply want to have enough to do some of the things that I really want to do. So maybe have some of the toys that I want to have. And I hear those statements all the time, but I think it's essentially saying the same thing. But I think sometimes what concerns me the most is when I listen to some of our conversations, and I think it's evident what we discuss the most reveals where our tastes are and where our values are. So that's concerning if we talk about things that are completely of this world, because what really it's demonstrating is that we've absorbed those values, and to an extent the world has won. They've gotten us, even though we might not feel that way, but that they've really gotten us. And so today, we're going to look at a slightly different side of the coin. Because while the world has values, God has a different set of values as well. And God, through His Word, reveals His values to us. And James will help us look at what things are valuable to God. And if we say we're Christians, And if we say we're living by the faith of God that he has given to us miraculously, we ought to be seeing these things in our life. When James sat down to write this letter, he wanted people that are going to be reading it to understand what living faith is, right? And if you remember the prior verses that we read, he wrote about trials, how our faith is going to behave in trials. He wrote about how it's going to behave with respect to wisdom, asking for wisdom. And now we're going to talk about values. Why? Because in our values, it's also our faith is either going to be revealed or not. So it's up to us, I think, to take a stand back and to test ourselves. So with that, let's read the passage. The passage is verses 9 through 11 in James chapter 1. It says here, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away, for the sun rises with a scorning wind and withers the grass, and the flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuit will fade." Kind of an interesting passage, right? Especially those first two verses, verse 9 and 10. Because if you read them again, it says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation." That seems contrary to what you would think, right? Because it says, "Let the lowly brother boast." Lowly meaning poor. And yes, that implies that there are some Christians that are poor. So it's basically saying, let the poor Christian brother boast, or boast in his exaltation. Exaltation means in his high position. And the rich in his humiliation. If you were to think about it, you would think that it would be the opposite, right? That the rich person would be boasting, and that the poor person would be looking to the rich person to be rich. So it seems like there is a disconnect, or at least to the first glance, there is a disconnect. And that's what we're going to look at today. So as we already said, there's poor and rich Christians, because you know that this epistle is actually written to them, to Christians. So let's start there. There are both. And note that he's telling the poor, or as it says here, the lowly brothers, to boast in his exaltation. So let's look at that briefly. And I think the way that we're going to structure it, since we're a little bit short on time, is we're going to look at only three things that inform our values, since today we're talking about values, and run through those rather quickly and see what values here James is highlighting in this very unique passage for us to tie it back all together. So the first item that I want for us to highlight and to notice here is that in this unique passage that he's really telling us to look at the eternal things as being the most valuable. So out of the three things that inform our values, the first one that I want to highlight is that things of eternality, of eternity, are in fact valuable. And so what does that mean? If you look at verse 9 again, it says, "The lowly brother boasts in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation." And if you continue reading that same chapter, verse 10 and 11, it keeps on saying how temporary things are. Wealth and age and da da da. And so by implication, that means that if we rewind the clock backwards to verse 9, that he's saying the exaltation, and we're going to look at that word in a second, whatever it is, it has to be not temporary, because he's almost like making a contrast. Exaltation versus all the temporary things. And so the first item that I want us to highlight and take away from here is that things of eternity are valuable. You might be wondering and asking yourself, what does that word mean, in exaltation or in high position, as translated in some of your Bibles in verse 9? And I want to propose to you two options, right? If you look in context to verse number 4, James is talking about being perfect and complete and lacking nothing in the context of trials producing something. So it possibly could be talking about that. But I think actually it's talking about much more than that. I think it's talking about boasting in salvation, boasting in the fact that we are saved by God. Why? Because we find much more support for that in the scriptures. For example, if you look at Galatians, when Paul also is writing to the church of Galatians, he says, what is he going to boast for? If you remember that passage that Paul talks about in Galatians 6:14, he says that God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is basically saying the only thing I'm going to boast about is the cross of Jesus Christ. So it's supporting that he's boasting by Christ, boasting by God, boasting by his salvation. If you read Romans chapter 8, 6 through 17, or verses 16 through 17, Romans chapter 8, Paul also, when writing to Romans, he says that we are now heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. So he's saying that, if you think about it, we're heirs of God and we're heirs of Christ. And that is certainly something to boast about, even if you might be poor in this particular life. I think lastly, that we should be thinking and focusing and valuing and boasting about the eternal things, such as our salvation, because if you think of the inheritance that is talked about by Paul and many of the other apostles, you see that they refer to it in the context of being eternal, not in the context of being temporal, as the other things are that we'll talk about in a second. If you read and you read Ephesians 1:11 or 1 Peter 1:14, Paul and Peter both say that inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So all these words and terms are being used that suggest that it's imperishable, that it is undefiled, that it will last forever. So in this first point that I want us to take away, first item that informs our values as Christians for the living faith is that our values need to be eternal, such as salvation. So if I'm a poor person, I'm exalting and I'm boasting in what? Not in the things of this world, but I should be looking to the internal things such as salvation. Second item that I wanted to highlight for us that inform our values is that life is temporary. Life is very temporary. Verse 9, if you reread it, it says that we are like a flowering grass, that we all pass away. And the Bible reminds us of this over and over again. Proverbs speak of this number of times. If you flip forward to James 4:14, James asks, "For what is your life?" in that particular passage. And it says, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So here in California, we don't really experience the vapor coming out of our mouth, but recently we traveled up north a little bit and got a chance to experience and to see that because we were in rather cold weather. And you know, if you've been to the snow, that the vapor comes in or comes out of your mouth and it's just there for a brief second and it disappears. And James, what he's trying to tell us and trying for us to understand is that really our life is temporary. And so when he switches over and he addresses the rich person, he says, don't boast in that. But boast in your humility, meaning what? Meaning that just like all the other people, you are going to die and you're going to die very fast. And just because a wealthy person might have a natural predisposition to think that all the wealth will dictate and all the wealth will allow them to make all the decisions in the world that they want, James here is reminding them that just like the flowers, their life will pass away very, very shortly. And I'm sure in your examples, if you think even of your own life, folks that you went to school with, folks that you might have worked with, folks that you lived with, you can think of many people that either tragically, through death, through accidents, through what have you, have passed on to the next life. Again, just demonstrating that life is so temporary. And the third and final point that I wanted for us to highlight and take out of this passage that should inform our values is that riches are temporary as well. It's not only that life is temporary, but riches are temporary as well. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And so too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away." He will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Ecclesiastes 5:15 says, "As he came from his mother's womb naked, shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor." A man will not take anything. So again, it's just highlighting that all the possessions here are very, very temporary as well. There was a missionary, Jim Elliot, and when he was talking about eternal things, he said the following statement, "You give up the things you cannot keep to obtain the things you cannot lose." And that's really what our lives should be based and structured like. Let me say that again. You give up things you cannot keep, such as wealth, such as time, such as anything in this life which we cannot keep, to obtain the things you cannot lose, which is your eternal inheritance. And so that's what should be in the forefront of our minds as we think about the values. So as we conclude, I want us to think about the values that we have. What do I value? What do you value? And what are you known for? If people were to ask somebody else about you and the conversations that you have and that we have, do you value salvation, being a child of God? Do you value things of this world? Where do you fall out? Why? Because James so clearly here highlights for us that regardless of our financial situation, we are to value, we are to look to eternal things and not to the monetary things of this world. So if you fall and you feel that maybe you're valuing too many of the temporal world things here, there's good news. The good news is that we can come to Christ and still repent and ask Him to change our heart. Remember how it says in Ezekiel, give us a heart, a new heart, replace this heart of stone. So there's that good news, because to some extent at all times, because we live in the sinful flesh, those values, still the sinful values, peak up. But with our new heavenly Adam living in us, we can overcome that old man that's still living inside. So with that, I pray that these words take root in your lives. Amen.